Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
My elder, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, elder. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And how are you doing?
Greatly blessed. Good to hear from you again.
Yes, great to hear from you once again. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll continue our lesson on baptism as we answer the question of why even bother getting baptized. Now, before we begin, understanding the reasons behind one's decision to get baptized, please help us understand, can one be saved even if they are not baptized? And does baptism guarantee salvation?
All right. Yeah. That's a deep question. I thought that was going to be the last question.
Well, let's just start with it and put it on the side.
It's a very deep question, I must put. And we learned that Christ had put some requirements of entering the kingdom of heaven, entering the kingdom of God, in John chapter 3, saying that except ye be born of water and of the Spirit, shall in no wise you shall see the kingdom of God, right? And we find that there are people who live to the light that they have received faithfully, neither having not encountered the gospel itself, right? Neither having encountered the law of God, right? But to the little light they have, they've been faithful. I mean, they've been faithful to it, right? Compared to those who have received the truth and been unfaithful to it. In Romans chapter 2, verse 14, Paul writes about the Gentiles who do not have the law, but by nature they do what the law requires. He says that they are law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. And in the book of Acts, we are told that in times of ignorance, God winked, but now he calls everyone to repentance. So you find situations and setups where you find people in different faiths, let's say Muslims, let's say Buddhists, who have not received the gospel, but they are morally, faithfully inclined to the little that they have received. And only God knows that if they had encountered the experiential faith of the gospel, they would have been faithful to it. They would have repented and walked to the light that they have received, you know. So, and hence I'm saying that not everyone have had the opportunity of getting into the water, as many have had that opportunity as we have now, you know, where we have encountered truth. I don't know if I'm answering you well. So we will be judged by the light which we've received, the truth in embodied, you know, embodied in itself. That's what you'll be judged with. If to them who are faithful to little, they shall be judged with the little that they have received faithfully.
Now, thank you so much for that. Now, take us through today's lesson and why should one be baptized?
You know, we are living in a world of sin, and we are born into the world of sin. Our flesh are inclined, right, to sin, right, given that we are embodied into a sinful flesh, right? And only one person has become neither have sinned, no sinned at all, you know, even in this sinful flesh. And that was the reincarnation of Christ Jesus, who lived in the sinful flesh, but neither sinned once, right? Neither by thought or by action, right? So he came to show, Christ came to be a living example that it is possible, you know, to be living in the sinful flesh, but and sin not. right? So he had set a standard for men, you know, that simply by looking at him, we can live a victorious life, right? So baptism in itself, it's one of the essence of where as our salvation revolves around, right? So how so? We are told in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
He was buried. He was buried, and he rose again. And the third day, he resurrected, right? So how so? He had made salvation possible by dying on the cross, right? And by his burial and resurrection. So the act of being baptized symbolizes, right? Rather, it shows that we can actually participate in the death of Christ. We participate in his burial and we participate in his resurrection. And that by resurrection, that is and signifies a newness of life. By death signifies that you are dying, you are being dead into your sin. And that's what Christ had made it possible. And we find it also in the lesson in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, where Paul writes that, do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death, right? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Right. So Christ's death and resurrection become our death and resurrection. The old person is no more, but a new person has resurrected, a new person in Christ. Hence, Paul in Philippians 2, verse 15 says, let this mind which was also in Christ also be way in you. Right. So it's a new person now. You're no longer trying to entertain the works of the flesh,
yes,
as being identified in Galatians 5, verse 19, where Paul lists the works of the flesh, which is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. You don't entertain them at all. For a new person is you now living according to a new man, a newness of life. In John chapter 1, I think verse 10, you know, it says that of Christ being sent, you know, he gives us power to become the sons of God.
Yes,
we are being born in the spirit, right? We are being born in the spirit. Now the spirit is the one that has power in us, you know, to live in Christ, to become like Christ. Now, the other thing is just to unpack something.
Yeah,
remember, Christ says, "Except ye be born in by water and by spirit." Thank you very much. You shall not see the kingdom of God. Now, we oftentimes fast forward, you know, fast forwarding to say that Christ is here, meaning the physical kingdom, right? Taking consideration that the kingdom of God is both the kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory, right? And Christ was here, he came to prepare us for the kingdom of glory, you know, and thus he had established the kingdom of grace. Right. So in many encounters in his parables, he's teaching us about the kingdom of heaven, right, which is the kingdom of grace, making examples of how we need to live life here on earth in preparation for the kingdom of what?
Of God.
Glory. Right? So so as soon as one gets baptized, you know, by water and by the spirit, he now enters to live in the kingdom of grace, right? The newness of life of Christ, day by day, in preparation to enter into the kingdom of glory. Does it make sense? So as soon as you are baptized, you become a citizen. Now you are living a new life in the kingdom of God.
Okay.
You know, here on earth, in preparation for the kingdom of the physical kingdom, which is coming soon, right? So it's very important to highlight that very aspect. So that's the reason why Paul, sorry, John, remember John the Baptist, in conducting baptism of water, you know, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he says, indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but there is one after me who is mightier than me, right? In whose shoes I am not fit or worthy to bear. He says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, right? So what John here is declaring something here that there is a qualification, that there need to be a qualification of baptism, right? That is not just about water. Water itself, it signifies, it's a symbol of something, but it's deeper than just seeing a person getting into the water and or than just a person having a membership in the church, right? Just a membership in church is way deeper than that. It's a relationship here. It's a covenant here. You know, where you yourself have a covenant or a vow between you and your father that you are walking in the newness of life, where you and yourself, so where you and the father say, day by day, you're praying, you know, for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. And that's where he mentions that he shall baptize you by the Holy Spirit and by fire. You know, that's how deeper it is, that it's not just about water, but a newness of life.
Beautiful, beautiful indeed. I think it's a quite a significant thing, eh? You know, such a very simple looking act could actually have such a very serious significance, because newness of life is not something to be but taken lightly, because this is a person who does literally a 90 degree turn of their lives and go a completely new direction, but very, very important. Now, what is the symbolism of the immersion? Why is it so specific?
Immersion represents burial, you know. Having highlighted it yesterday, it means baptismos. That's the Greek word, immersion, right? That so when one is being baptized, the whole body gets buried. Remember, baptism represents the death of Christ. So when one gets buried, we he is what he is laid down. Does it make sense? He is laid down. So the whole body is being buried, right? To such that everything gets intact with water itself, you know, get touched by water itself, to such that, you know, so it's the, by sprinkling itself, it goes against the nature of the word baptism, by being immersed, right? So you find where sprinkling is being conducted and all those in other religious setups, right? Which differs basically to the nature of baptism, where the whole body needs to be buried and a new person resurrect. So as when the body is being buried in the water, right? Remember, water signifies also Christ Jesus as the water of life, the living water. So basically, the water itself represents that you are being baptized into Jesus Christ, right? You are being washed, you know, by Christ Jesus. It's a symbolism that you are being washed and made new again, right? So when you are being pulled up, you know, it's meaning that you are being resurrected. It's a symbol that a new person is being what? Resurrected, right? So it's a very beautiful experience of how of this act, Christian act, is being conducted to such that old person is that has died, right? And now a new person is resurrected, right? So it's a very beautiful Christian ritual, I must put. That's what Christ had set an example for even every one of us to follow. We find it being common even in the book of Acts, where the disciples will go about and teach about Christ Jesus and winning, making disciples for Christ. The first thing that they will do when they've received the gospel, knowing thereof that there's no great other name greater than Jesus Christ, knowing thereof that they're receiving Christ as their personal savior and accepting Christ, the first step will be conversion, right? Repentance, them confessing their sins and wanting and longing to be being like Christ Jesus. And thus, by conversion and confession and repentance, entering into a walk of sanctification, by receiving the Holy Ghost, they will go through the process of getting into the water. It's beautiful if you have it right now, if you have that opportunity, delay not. It's one of the signs of humility. It's one of the signs of that I'm of a public declaration that I'm receiving Christ, you know. So by withholding, you know, but still professing to become like Christ, that I will not get into the water. It shows that there's still a sense of pride lingering in the heart. You know, you need not delay when you see that Christ is your personal savior. You know, they say when you see someone drowning, what's the first thing that you do? You spontaneously react to save the person, you know, from drowning into death. And
yeah,
that's what Christ did. You know, he comes, he does not delay into saving a person's souls from death. So he wants to save you from death. If today you hear the Holy Spirit's voice, harden not your heart, you know, don't delay, for tomorrow you may not know that your life still will still be there in existence. You know, today might be your last day. So it's very important that to know that it's not only about the water, but it's about the experiential walk together with Jesus, that I'm now taking a first step in walking with Jesus according to how he desires. So there are things that Christ had set as example, as symbols of what heaven desires. Things like Holy Communion, you know, partaking of the bread, partaking of the wine, you know, which is the his blood, freshly new vine, they say. You know, that represents. So those are symbols that Christ had left behind, so for us to have this experiential walk to renew the covenant every day with him, on a weekly base, on a monthly base. You know, those are just holy communions that he has set for us after the walk in being baptized. Yeah.
You know, I've got a message that's coming on the line. It says, if you think about it, I think it's a comment from the listener. If you think about it, when Jesus said, unless ye are baptized of the Spirit, God saw that many people just got dipped and yet their hearts were far from him. But baptism, from what I'm getting, is actually a symbol to show the inward decision that one makes. Very important, eh?
Amen. Very important. Amen.
Before I let you go, does it mean being a new creation in Christ mean that one will no longer be susceptible to past sins, temptations, bad habits, etc.?
They come in full force, eh?
Do they?
Yeah, unfortunately, they come in full force, eh? Having unpacked also the yesterday that, you know, we learn it by Christ being led to the mountain to be tempted. Right after baptismal, you know, so don't expect that you'll not be tempted. But now do know that in the newness walk of life, you know, your day to day, Christ makes it possible to become victorious over the temptations and snares that Satan brings about. You know, after being baptized, you know, be it by water or be by the Spirit, day by day, You'll get, a lot of temptations arrayed, a lot of trials being arrayed, to God permits, he allows those trials also. Remember he says he will baptize you by fire also, to furnish you, to build your faith, to strengthen your faith, to look up to him. And that's where the experiential work is, that each day you count it as a blessing, that today, Lord God, you've granted me a new message to walk with you. Make it possible that I become victorious. If temptation comes, allow me to become victorious, make an escape. And definitely always makes an escape to every temptation that comes. He has not given you a temptation that will be above your strength. And that's what scripture says, that there's no temptation that will be beyond what you're able to handle, right? So by daily dwelling into scriptures, daily momentously dwelling into prayer, making prayer your life, speaking to Christ every moment, you strengthen your walk. It's that personal walk with Christ. What happens if communication is cut off? The relationship dies. Relationship dies, and that's when you become susceptible to falling, to become vulnerable, to sin. And if you give yourself to one sin, you lessen your strength to another temptation, right? And that will come. And if you become victorious over this one temptation, you strengthen yourself for another temptation that will come, because you've seen the victory, the joy of saying, "Wow, I've done it." Wow, that joy, to be in Christ. I've done it for Christ. I've done it for him, and you pat yourself, but it's very important, the Lord's Prayer is very important, to not see yourself. Holiness is not rapture, but the closer you get to Christ, the more you sinful you see yourself, and the more you try to become day by day, to become more like Christ, the closer you even become, the more, even more sinful you become, you see yourself, so holiness is not rapture, but holiness is daily growth in Christ Jesus, the decisions that you make for Christ, be it your physical decision, the things that you choose in life, the friends, companions that you choose in life. Every decision determines your next step of whether are you receiving Christ in life. Even the decision, before you make decision, make sure that is this acceptable before God. Hence Christ in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, he says, whatsoever you do, whether it be eating or drinking, do it all to the glory of God. In decision, make sure that it glorifies the Father.
Beautiful. Before I let you go, there's a question coming through the line. Greetings, my elders. Does it mean then that part of my walk would be setting apart time to be baptized, maybe annually on anniversary or so, to strengthen my walk with God?
The opportunity, remember, the water baptism is a public declaration. You are publicly declaring to the community or to the world that I'm entering into a newness of life, right? So the water baptism it's an outward reflection, they say, that this is a new person who will be living, right? Now, Paul says is what in Romans 6, if I'm not mistaken, not Romans chapter 6. I'm trying to recall the verse. I think Ephesians. It's in Ephesians, if I'm not mistaken. Saying Galatians, yes. That nevertheless I die daily. Nevertheless I die daily. That's being dying in Christ. When you die, remember baptism basically dying, and resurrecting. So when Paul says, nevertheless, I die daily, he is saying that every day I'm being baptized by the Holy Spirit. you know. So you don't need to always getting into the waters year by year. You know, it's not a need unless it unless you are publicly declaring that I'm turned away from my old self to a new person in Christ Jesus. So baptism should be a daily thing, in the spirit. In the spirit, you know, and needed by the water, but we need the water is needed as a public declaration, you know. So you don't need to be doing water every year as an anniversary, but publicly declaring, that's where the water comes in. Newness in life, it requires a daily baptism by the spirit.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much, my elder. Always a pleasure speaking to you. I suppose we are going to be ending it here. Thank you so much for your time.
God bless you and the listeners. We greatly bless you.
Blessings to you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.